This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده والنبي ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم beginning the khutbah al-juma Praising Allah. Someone's cell phone is ringing. And seeking Allah's guidance and Allah's mercy and forgiveness. Acknowledging, walhamdulillah, that whomever Allah has guided is guided aright. And that Allah has never failed to send prophets, guides, and messengers to humanity without any doubt throughout the millennia. Culminating, alhamdulillah, with the last of Allah's prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has sent us this guidance, alhamdulillah, in a way that we can be assured that the Quran says to us, Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. This is the book, in it is guidance. لا ريب فيه, there's no doubt in it. هدى للمتقين. For the people who have a connection with Allah, we call it taqwa. And that this word from Allah is unchanging. That Allah's guidance never changed. And so for us, we should, as believers, in the first instance say that whatever is happening in the world, know that the unchanging word of God will never be lost from us. And in it, there are injunctions and guidance. There is law and order, justice contained within this book. And no matter what happens, it will never change. This divine guidance, we call in Arabic Sharia, the way to the water. The way to the sustenance, the way to purity. And alhamdulillah, if we were to look through the last 14 centuries of Islam under the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will discover that what Allah has ordered for us, no matter who is the governor, no matter who is the ra'is, no matter who is the king or the monarch, that the obligations of a Muslim remain the same. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give us some background, what is Islam? He said, Buni al-Islamu al-Hams. It's based on five things. We believe in Allah and we believe in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aqimu salat, we establish prayer wherever we are. Utu zakah, we give from our wealth for those who fit the category of poverty, of need, of homelessness, orphans, widows. And it doesn't matter where we live. The objective on us is the same. Now, many of you, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, so my reality, my background is different. But I know there's some people here, they grew up in countries where they had dictators. If there's any hope for you, people have remained Muslim under dictators. People living under oppression pray 5 times a day. We had a woman here the other week. She said, Imam, I grew up in Albania where they outlawed practicing Islam. There was no freedom of religion under the communists. We used to go in our houses and hide so we could pray. Even with that, Islam has survived. And so for any of us who feel any anxiety about the current political crisis and the speech you might hear in the public discourse, I am completely confident. Not only will Islam survive, but it will thrive. If we were to look and to see what are the fundamental elements that have maintained this, it is that at the heart of the Deen of Islam, justice, law, equality. It is a message that resonates with the fitra, with the purity of every human soul. And so in the face of opposition, people, rather than leaving their faith, we get deeper. This is why in some places in the world, the only people who will stand up against the dictator are the religious people. It was true even in America. I remind you all sometimes because I think you forget. I'm a descendant of enslaved Africans in this country. My grandparents can talk about when their parents were enslaved. And they used to pick cotton and all that stuff you hear about. That's not something I saw in a movie. But I can tell you in this country what has led as the vanguard against slavery and oppression was calling people to the fundamental elements of morality and justice. As an American, I can tell you something. There is a concept we take, I think, as Muslims for granted. To live in a country where they say that our nation is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, the reality is that in America, that hasn't always been how America functioned, but it has always been the creed of America. Now, some people might ask, well, where would they get such a creed from? I want to remind you all that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were the two main authors of the Constitution of the United States. And I know that they were influenced by Islam. By Islam, how do I know? Because Keith Ellison, the congressman from the 5th Congressional District in Minnesota, took his oath of office on the Quran of Thomas Jefferson. And they would put into the document of the Constitution something that no other document at that time had. The Magna Carta didn't have it. If they were to look back into the records of the Greeks and the Romans, they wouldn't find it. They found something in the Quran, in the Arabic language. Allah says, let there be no compulsion in religion. La Crawford Dean. The framers of the Constitution in America put in the law something that you only found then in the Quran. That this will be a nation where people are free to choose their religion as the Quran described. And by the way, if you don't believe me, there is Dr. Aziza Al-Hibri. You can find her article in the Law Journal of the University of Pennsylvania. Because I know when you go tell your neighbor that, they're going to say, what proof do you have about the Quran and Islam's influence on the Constitution? So you have to send them to the library. And if they want to see the Quran of Thomas Jefferson, they can go to the Library of Congress. Because, alhamdulillah, even though we were here before Columbus as Muslims, our influence on the nature of the society is well documented. And I don't want it to be a secret from you. You should know. Alhamdulillah, the impact that Islam and Muslims have had on this country. While I say that, you and I know right now that America is not perfect. It'll never be perfect. This kind of society is a work in progress. We're about to come up on this weekend, the birthday of Martin Luther King. Dr. King said that America has to be held accountable to her creed. That we as a people who live here, according to the Constitution, if the government does not provide for us as citizens what we should receive, then we should challenge the government peacefully. I forgot, that's in the Constitution. Peacefully. And that the moral arc of the universe is long. Maybe we'll go through something right now. Some discrimination. But it bends toward justice. Right here in Virginia. SubhanAllah. Right here in Virginia in the 1970s. I came here to go to college in Virginia. That has segregated schools. You try to think about, I mean, at my age, I'm thinking the 1970s, that was like, you know, everything was cool. People fought. And in their fighting, marching and demonstrating, registering people to vote, holding their elected officials accountable, they made America better. Dr. King reminds us that justice is not going to roll in on the wings of inevitability. People will get as much justice as they're willing to fight for. And this ummah should be in the forefront. You know, I was in an organizing meeting one night. I think I might have mentioned it to you before. And we were going up against some banks who were charging a lot of riba and ripping people off and foreclosing on their homes. And with the help of some senators, we brought together the heads of some banks. And we held them accountable. The Washington Post and others, they covered it. And from the pressure that came from the community, alhamdulillah, they said, okay, we were wrong, we backed down, we're going to pay millions of dollars to help poor people get back in their homes. Subhanallah. فَإِنَّا مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّا مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى فَعِدَّ فَرَقْتَ فَانْسَبُوا إِلَّا رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. There's no change that's going to happen unless there's some pressure. Verily, with difficulty comes ease. And so, alhamdulillah, for us, I'm challenging each and every one of us to be part of the change. I know I heard a lot of crazy stuff in the news. But in the last few months, we've had many of our friends. We had the Attorney General here, highest ranking law official in Virginia, come to affirm that Muslims have the right to practice their religion and the government has an obligation to protect them. That Attorney General today, he's down at the Adams Center. Not only saying it, but we'll hold him accountable. And so I'm going to invite you, subhanAllah, to hold fast to the rope of Allah all together and be not divided. That, alhamdulillah, if we are steadfast in this deen, Allah will make us successful in this life and in the hereafter. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. You know, I've been thinking lately about how crazy the politics in America is. And as an American, I'm not used to it. But then I talked to some of my friends who are from other countries. They said, brother, we're used to it. Used to it. You name the country. We're used to it. Right? You could pick your own country where Muslims are the majority. You look back 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you say, wow, all the kind of strange leaders, corrupt, dictators, tyrants. People still practicing Islam. Amazing. Even people who lived under communism. So I have no doubt, alhamdulillah, that as Muslims we'll be fine. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nothing more powerful than Allah. And if I am on Allah's side, I don't have anything to worry about. You know, while we're having a little history lesson, when Abraham Lincoln was at Gettysburg, they were fighting the Civil War that would ultimately end slavery in America. Some were saying, we pray that God is on our side. Abraham Lincoln said, we pray that we're on God's side. That, alhamdulillah, if we're on Allah's side, we're all right. Right now, brothers and sisters, there's a spike in Islamophobia, anti-Muslim bigotry. Colin Christopher, we've been organizing in schools, talking to parents and children about what our children are experiencing in the public school. We don't have enough private schools for all Muslims to go to private school. That's how. 97% of Muslim children go to public school. So we got to fix the public school. In the public school, children are learning from their parents and from whatever to say something Islamophobic, to pull the little girl's hijab at school, to call her ISIS. But guess what? My friend and rabbi, Bruce Lustig in Washington, he said, Imam, I'm not going to say the word, because that's the only thing they'll show on TV if I say the word, but there's a bad word they call Jewish people. He said Jewish children are now being called that in the public school, like it's okay. Black Lives Matter is talking about how the life of African-American youth not as valuable as the lives of others. There seems to be a trend where people can take the law into their own hands. But I'm confident, alhamdulillah. Many of you may not know this. Many years ago, Dr. King was marching in Selma, Alabama. And I have some of my friends from law enforcement here. The local police department there, most notably a man called Bull Connor, was abusing black people who were demonstrating. And Dr. King put pressure on Lyndon Johnson, who was president then, and Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of John F. Kennedy, to send federal troops to protect the civil rights and civil liberties of those marchers. And alhamdulillah, it was the federal government that came in and defended the rights of people to protest against racism and bigotry. In Virginia, the Ku Klux Klan was dismantled by the FBI. So now you have one group, you have Bull Connor on one hand and the FBI on the other. But the arc of justice is long, but it bends towards what's right. I am thoroughly convinced that if you and I will, alhamdulillah, do what Allah wants us to do. We're not in America by accident. Some of you grew up in other countries. And I know you had friends and relatives who wanted to come to America. Some of them, wallahi, maybe they weren't smarter, but Allah chose you. That you're here for a reason. It's not a vacation. And you're here and you're practicing Islam in America, which for some people is unthinkable. You come to America, they have alcohol everywhere, they got gambling everywhere, they got everything is free. You want to do it, but because of your commitment to the Sharia of Allah, you say, I'm going to follow the laws of Allah, because I'm free to do so in America, to pray and to fast and to give my zakat. And I'm going to do it, alhamdulillah, law kari al-kafirun. My favorite reminder after 9/11, the ninth surah, Suratul Tawbah, the 32nd ayah. Yuriduna an yutfinur Allah bi afwaihim. They will unsuccessfully try to extinguish the nur of Allah bi afwaihim. with their mouths. Sound familiar? And that Allah prefers to increase the nur of Allah, law kari al kafirun, no matter how much they dislike it. For you and I now, well, alhamdulillah, when I see that, I know it's happening. Timun nur, Allah is going to increase his light. It's happening. Ask Allah to help you, alhamdulillah, to be part of the change. We have meetings. I'm closing now, but Colin Christopher is begging everybody, help us with Virginia's Organized for Interfaith Community Engagement. Because people are coming to us, asking us to help them lead the fight in America to make it better. We had a meeting, Fazia organized a meeting last weekend. Neighbors come in different faiths. One of them now, he's teaching ESL to men, how to speak English. He came because he heard about the negative speech about Muslims. It's not what you think. You think that it's, when you hear this, it's bad, but you tell me, Lord, Allah is going to increase his light. Law kari al kafirun. So we ask Allah to make us among the sabiqun. Allahumma adina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi man tawallait. O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. Ya Allah, protect us among those whom you have protected. O Allah, take us as a friend as you took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a friend. Ya Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, to increase our iman, ya Allah. O Allah, increase our connection with you, subhanallah. O Allah, remove the fear from our hearts of anything except you, ya Allah. O Allah, strengthen our children, ya Allah. O Allah, that they would know, alhamdulillah, that they have the right to practice their faith. Alhamdulillah, we ask you, Allah, you grant us rizqun tayyibun, ya Allah. Some people being laid off from their job, ya Allah. We ask that you give them a righteous sustenance, ya Allah. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you might strengthen our community, ya Allah. O Allah, help and strengthen our relationship with our neighbors, ya Allah. O Allah, help us that we might be among those who would establish justice, ya Allah. O Allah, we ask for your forgiveness. O Allah, your mercy on those who are suffering with difficulties. Ya Allah, we have a sister, we're asking, ya Allah, she's asked for a dua, a prayer for her healing, ya Allah. O Allah, and we ask that you grant her your shifa. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you forgive us of our sins. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, you have mercy on those who are suffering around the corner and around the world, ya Allah. Ola, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Wa tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ola, we know you are peace and the source of peace. We ask for your peace and your mercy, ya Allah, on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and on his family and on his companions, and all of the anbiya, guides, prophets, and messengers, ya Allah, and those who follow the way of your haqq until the day of judgment. Ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfirukum, aqim salat.